The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, Cameron Hill is here in terms of quirky sports. The Wimbledon has been fantastic this week. It looks like Alcaraz versus Sinner with Novak in there. And Sabalenka is also doing well with her TikTok dances, whatever about on the centre court. But what about this?
Back in the news again, for the first time in 7 years, the world's greatest tennis festival had a fairly quiet reopening. But enthusiasm was as high as ever in this mecca of international players.
Right. Well, this is apropos Wimbledon 2025 coming to a culmination this Saturday and Sunday with the singles final. 2 weeks of glamour and, of course, as part of the Grand Slam. Irish-Australian player James McCabe was in the first round of the singles, but for a number of years has been the only Irish representative has come from the chair umpire, Fergus Murphy. So, Strawberries, SW19, Cameron Hill of Off the Ball is here to explain that once upon a time, the Irish did dominate Wimbledon.
Yes, indeed. 1890. So, a lot of people go on about Italia 90 is the great summer of Irish sport, but 100 years beforehand, it was all going down in SW19 from an Irish perspective. Brilliant stuff. Clean sweep of all the different trophies that year. I'll start by introducing a couple of the characters from that famous weekend, Ivan.
Willoughby Hamilton, is that the first?
Yeah, a great name. So he was born in Monaster Evan, County Kildare, on the 9th of December, 1864. He was also a founding member of the first football club in Dublin, so Dublin Association Football Club in 1883. A rival club was set up at Trinity, Dublin University AFC, and the first Dublin derby took place in November of that year, which Dublin AFC ran out 4-0 winners in. Willoughby and his brother William Drum Hamilton were the only two players from Dublin AFC to represent Ireland when they took on Wales in 1885. 8-2 to Wales was the final score in that one. And the club was then disbanded in 1890, in response to dodgy officiating during an Irish Cup semi-final against Cliftonville. But Willoughby was already turning his attention to tennis at this point. He won the Irish men's doubles title 3 years in a row between 86 and 88. He won the Irish singles title in 1889, was the first Irishman to win the tournament since it had gained international prominence. Then it was one of the big tournaments until the early 20th century and was played not in Fitzwilliam, but at Wilton Place. He beat both Renshaw brothers, Willie and Ernest, who were the dominant forces in male tennis at the time. And he was partnered with this woman, Lena Rice, in the mixed doubles, which he also won. She was beginning to make a name for herself in tennis from Tipperary. She was born in New Inn in 1866, learned to play tennis on the lawns of her home, a Georgian mansion named Marlhill. Still new to competitive tennis, though, and the 1889 Irish Championships was her first ever tournament. She then goes to Wimbledon that year and is beaten by Blanche Hilliard, who went on to win 6 Wimbledon titles, but said her match against Rice was the most memorable and exciting of her career years later.
Okay, so just I got they won Irish titles and they competed at Wimbledon. Did they actually win Wimbledon?
Yes. So 4 to 1890, Rice steps onto centre court for the women's singles final on the 4th of July 1890, wearing an ankle-length floral skirt.
As you do, yeah.
A blouse which was tight at the waist, brown
leather shoes.
It's
very skimpy what they're wearing this week.
Well, I think some of the Adidas clobber this time round is preferable to this. Brown leather shoes, a black tie and a straw hat might be tough to play in, but not for her.
A straw hat?
Yeah, very. If it
must have been very genteel.
Incredibly.
Like there's
and
no
all
140 miles an hour serves coming at you.
No. Well, that maybe it's even more admirable that they were playing in these clunky clothes.
Right.
And just to explain, it wasn't like how it is today in terms of the draw. So the winner of the all-comers round then took on the defending champion. They only played the final. Hilliard didn't play. She was the defending champion. So Rice's opponent was May Jax, and Rice goes and beats Jax in straight sets in that clunky attire, 6-4, 6-1, gets the prize of 20 guineas and uses the proceeds to purchase an emerald and diamond ring. Hamilton then beats Joshua Pym from Dublin in the semi-final, reaches the men's challenge final against Willie Renshaw, his old foe, loses the first set 8-6, takes the second 6-2, loses the third 6-3, then gets back-to-back 6-1s to win the men's singles title. But Pym wasn't done. He, along with Dublin's Frank Stoker, who was a distant cousin of Dracula author Bram, beat Ernest Lewis and George Hilliard, the husband of Blanche, in straight sets to claim the men's double. So an Irish clean sweep at the championships.
Do you know what the prize money this week is?
Big.
53 million.
That's enough.
It is a lot.
Yeah. Like, you could buy a few emerald diamond rings with that.
Yeah. You know, that is the, so this was really the heyday of Irish tennis.
Yes.
Because I remember maybe 20, 30 years ago that after Wimbledon, there used to be a pretty serious Fitzwilton international competition. Mm. And some people would stay over, but it's all diminished greatly.
Well, it was all like, it was the precursor. A lot of players would come over and play it. And when you look at the names who played at Fitzwilliam in the 60s, like Rod Laver, Margaret Court, Billie Jean King played it at one time.
Serious, yeah.
So it was an incredible event. It's such a shame that it's gone now.
It is, it is. Now, what happened to the class? So here you have Willoughby Hamilton, you have Her Ladyship Lena Rice, and you have Joshua Pym. Whatever happened to them?
So Hamilton contracted an illness shortly after. That prevents him from defending his title in 1891. It gets so bad, in fact, that he has to give up tennis altogether and only play badminton. Once known for his good looks, Hamilton's frail appearance and pale complexion earned him the nickname of Ghost. So quite the come down. He won the doubles title at the Irish Mixed Open in 1902, then retires, becomes a stockbroker and dies on the 27th of September 1943. We're not really sure what happened to Rice. She chose not to defend her title in 1891. The census of 1901 shows that she's still working and living out of Marl Hill. One possible explanation for her retirement is that she was required at home after her mother died in 1891, but she never plays tennis again and dies of a tubercular hip in 1907 at the age of just 41.
But Pym lasted a bit longer.
So he loses the next two Wimbledon finals, triumphs in the singles finally in 93, wins the men's doubles the next day, wins the Irish singles that same year and returned both of those titles in 1894, wins the Irish singles in 95, decides not to defend his Wimbledon singles title, goes to Boston instead. This is really interesting. So the Roanoke Times described him on that tournament as unquestionably the greatest player in the world today. And some historians even say that Pym's display there was revelatory for US tennis. So perhaps Joshua Pym is responsible for the Williams sisters and the US dominance towards the end of the 20th century.
Yeah, I've been to Flushing Meadow. It's quite something, sort of massive concrete emporium. Now, the Davis Cup, was it going in those days?
It was, and he went and represented Great Britain as the token Irishman on the team. He went under the pseudonym Mr. X, but no one was fooled. They knew it was Pym. But by then, his powers were beginning to fade. That was 1902. He goes to the US National Championships, which is now the US Open, reaches the fourth round in the singles, and then retires from tennis, continuing to work as a doctor, and died on the 15th of April, 1942, at his residence in Killiney.
Okay, so yesteryear stars, and we have a couple of texts. Hi, I have my father, Jim Buckley, known as Gentleman Jim, played in Wimbledon in the 1950s, says Ian Finnegan, well-known estate agent and valuer. Fitzwilliam was based in Wilton Place, so it was at Fitzwilliam, just different location. Fitzwilliam moved in 1972, says Jerry. Okay, and my sincere thanks to Cameron Hill. He'll be probably getting back to the day job on off the ball.
Later today.
Busy weekend with the football semi-finals and lots more.
Oh, it's Katie
Taylor.
It's Wimbledon all the way. I've put my Do Not Disturb on.
All right.
I love it.
Well, I mean, like, I know off the ball is kind of work to rule in its own right. But no, you're dead right. The quality of it is absolutely stunning. Who do you think will win?
In the women's, it's hard to look past Sabalenka and Alcaraz.
She can choke at times. Alcaraz is getting better every day. And Sinner has a right elbow problem, I think.
I think both Sinner and Djokovic are hoping Fritz wins that semi-final, to be honest.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All right, thank you. Thank you indeed, Cameron.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.